Please turn again to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. Last week, I had planned for us to be looking at verses 9 through 11. Of course, we only made it through verse 9. So, God willing, we'll get verses 10 and 11 today. Let me read today, beginning at verse 1 and go through verse 11. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of Jehovah shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord Jehovah shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Now, may God add his blessing to his word today. A couple of things before we start. If you look on the inside of the bulletin, you can see on the left side of the page there, it's exactly the same. The outline and questions and all that, exactly the same as last week. Now, perhaps you've just filled out the first part there, and you see, well, it isn't exactly the same. I've changed the name because it's no longer Behold Your God, it is Strong Deliverer. But the second and third main points here are now my first and second today. Strong to smite and strong to save. A second thing I want to note before we get going is I was looking around for another reason on sermon audio this morning, and I found it very interesting. I don't know what this is significant of, other than the providence of God, but not only are we going through an expository series on Isaiah at this point, Southfield congregation is, Sycamore congregation in Kokomo is, and I've forgotten one of our Kansas congregations is as well. No, pardon me, it's out at Westminster, Colorado. So in any case, it's interesting to me that God has moved several of the ministers, several in our own presbytery, and at least one in another presbytery, to be preaching from Isaiah. And again, interestingly enough, Pastor York over in Sycamore, over in Kokomo, is right around in chapter 40 at the same time, too. So if you feel like going to sermon audio, you can maybe hear some different perspectives. And surely, you know, Pastor York will have picked up on some things that I have not. Well, we saw last week the wonder of this proclamation, Behold Your God. The wonder of it for God's people. And now it is that Isaiah is moved by the Spirit of God to be talking about this God. He says, look to Him. Behold him. And what is it that we see? Well, we read that here. Behold your God, he ends at verse 9, and then says again, behold the Lord God, or the Lord Jehovah. You see here in our New King James, the word God is in the small capitals. That signifies that in the original Hebrew, you have the four letters that we sound out as Jehovah or Yahweh or, you know, that however it is. In any case, so the word Lord there is not the one standing in for it. The word there in the Hebrew is Adonai. So Adonai Yahweh or Adonai Jehovah, Jehovah, whatever it is, behold your God, behold the Lord Jehovah shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. This strong deliverer is first of all strong to smite. Now maybe you children don't know that word smite, but maybe you know a word that starts out the same, smack. That is, smacking something. Maybe you were watching a football game last night, and you said to yourself, or you yelled out loud, I could just smack that referee for that stupid call. You know what we mean. It may be that you have been faced down, children, by your father or your mother for something you did or didn't do that you should have done. It's usually, though, the phrase I'm going to use here usually comes about when you do something you shouldn't have. And your father pulls you aside, or your mother does, and says, if you pull that stunt again, I'm going to smack you. Well, God is strong to smite. Usually a smack in this sense means like a slap or a spank on the bottom or something, children. But to smite means something far worse, far heavier. It is when someone comes with a stroke of the arm, maybe with a fist or maybe with a weapon in it, like a club or a sword, and strikes someone. And it's to knock them out or kill them. Of course, your parents would never do a thing like that. Well, we have already seen throughout the prophecies of Isaiah so far, Jehovah's great power. And his great power is shown here by words in sort of a word picture here. Children, maybe some of you have learned the child's catechism. And you know that God is a spirit and has not a body like men. Oh, I remember going over that one time and again with two little boys. So why does the Bible say here that he comes with a strong hand? And his arm shall rule for him. It's a word picture. It's not something we are to take literally. That is, it's a picture of something. God's great power and to his ability to do all his holy will. God is powerful. And the picture of him here is sweeping everything before him. Now, we saw in previous sermons that a lot of this is looking immediately at his work with the Assyrians and their invasion, and looking a little farther along toward the Babylonians who would do worse damage, and the Romans whom God would use. But we're also seeing and have been seeing that all this looks forward to our own day in which Christ has come. He has become the God-man that Larry was just talking about. He has come and He has done His work of redemption through His life and His death, His resurrection and His ascension with power to the right hand of His Father. The Assyrians, of course, were swept away when no one had been able to do so before. The Assyrians bragged that no god could stop them. No god had stopped them. Of course, the gods of the nations were just foolishness and imaginary. At most, they were demonic. But none could stop them, but the living and true God could. But this God, the Lord Jehovah, is powerful in so many other ways. Why, when the time would come, the Babylonians' power would be smashed by the Persians whom God would raise up. And as God overturned in his providence and in the history that is the working out of His plan and the working out of providence, in proper time, the Persians were overthrown by the Greeks under Alexander, and eventually the Greeks by the Romans. And God worked throughout history in order to make the Romans come at a particular time and with a particular culture and with particular things that they did and deeds that they accomplished, so that at the right time, when Jesus was born, all was prepared for Him. And all was prepared for His work. God powerfully did that, sweeping aside all that which would impede the coming of the gospel, all that which would try to keep the application of the gospel from coming to pass. What is with Him? What does He bring? Well, He is strong, and His reward is with Him. And His work. Now for us who are in Jesus Christ, for us whom God has allowed to see His glory, this reward and work is all of grace and mercy. He has sent, as we acknowledged in prayer, and as we've been speaking of somewhat this afternoon, He sent Jesus. And Jesus willingly came. And He received upon Himself at the cross, as Larry mentioned with Psalm 25 here, He received the reward that we deserved. We deserved, of course, the unremitting wrath of God. We deserved His curse for our sin. When we look honestly at our lives, when we examine honestly our thoughts and our words and our deeds, oh, God has mercifully kept us from being able to remember all, perhaps. But when we can bring up these things, do we not see what our reward really is, really would be? Oh, some of us, we're so tempted sometimes, and we yield to that temptation to think, I deserve better. Well, I can tell you, friend, I can tell you, brother or sister in Jesus Christ, you deserve differently than you've gotten. That's certain. But it's not something better. You have far better than ever you have deserved. If you have life, if you are spared any of the preliminary pains that are portents of hell, if you're kept from that, then you have more than you deserve. Because Jesus took that reward, the reward we had earned, and if left to ourselves, would receive justly and fairly. Because of His self-sacrifice to redeem us, and renew us whom He had and does and always will love. Because of that, we receive a reward. But it is the reward not of our own works, but of His. We receive the reward of His faithfulness, of life, of everlasting life. And all things which are good for us in this life as well. Think of it. As a Christian poem says, God even sanctifies to you. Sanctifies to you your deepest distress. Yes, He works all things in your life together for good and gives you that which you could never, ever earn, but which Christ has for you. Happiness forever in heaven. And what is sometimes called by the theologians a competent portion, that is, what you can handle, of good things in your life. And we sing about that sometimes in Psalm 103. His reward is with Him. But what about those who are not in Jesus Christ? Well, they who are the enemies of His bride have great reason to fear. For His reward is with Him and His work. He comes in wrath with their reward and with His work of judgment, condemnation, and fury. Well, what kind of enemies are the enemies of the people of God? What kind of enemies are we speaking of here? Well, there are enemies on the outside. Spiritual ones and physical ones, although the ones we can't see or hear or feel or touch or taste, those spiritual ones are the most dangerous. The physical ones are the ones we tend to pay more attention to. But however great they are, and whatever ism they seek to advance, well, God is strong, and He comes with fury. Sadly, there are enemies within, too. I wonder how many of you children have ever watched a cartoon called The Three Little Pigs, made by Walt Disney 75 years ago. And in that cartoon, at one point, the wolf tries to get into the house of the little pig who made his house of sticks and twigs by sort of putting himself, that is the wolf, in a basket and covering himself up with a sheep pelt. I'm a poor little sheep with no place to sleep. Please open the door and let me in. Well, the pigs were clever enough, weren't clever enough to build of brick and stone like their brother did. They hadn't figured out to run there quite yet, but they were clever enough to say, not by the hair of your chinny chin chin. You can't fool us with that old sheepskin. Well, sadly, too many people are fooled by wolves in sheep's clothing. We have enemies who profess to be within the Church of Jesus Christ. Enemies who would seek to subdue God's work, who would seek to pull away the sheep from the shepherd so that they could be devoured. And sometimes they subvert entire denominations so that these churches, which were once fine, splendid champions of the gospel, have become nearly what our confession calls synagogues of Satan. And then we find there's an enemy within us, our remaining sinfulness. Oh, it's true. By God's grace and by the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, we're not like we once were. And oh, how thankful we are. But we sure aren't what we want to be. And we have the promise that we are not what we shall be by the working of the Holy Spirit within us. Well, whatever the enemy, outside or inside, physical and temporal or spiritual, or even the enemy within, God comes to smite it. And He comes to deliver us. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever had the experience of fearing you were not one of God's children. Some people do. And fearing that perhaps they shall never be. There are Christians, in fact, who struggle with their assurance at times. It can be because they are physically weakened because of not enough sleep or illness. And the devil can come and try to accuse them, and instead of listening to their advocate, they listen to the accuser. What kind of Christian are you? No real Christian would think this way. No real Christian would speak in such a manner. No real Christian would act in this way. Here is the same sin you've been doing for 59 years. You can't possibly be a believer. God hates you. I've been there, brothers. I've been there, sisters. And it's frightening. Greater Christians than I have struggled with this at times. And it can be scary, friends, to think of God coming strong to smite. But let me read here in verse 11. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. You see, friends, He is not only strong to smite, He is also strong to save. As we consider our own remaining sin, it can make us tremble. What shall happen to us, some might think, who are tender of conscience, are very, very aware of their sin and their spiritual frailty. Some time ago, we were going through John's Gospel. Do you remember? It was before we started here in Isaiah. Long ago. It's been 5 years, 6 years, something like that. We were in John chapter 10, verse 14. And there Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He knows how to care for the lambs, the young and tender ones. He knows as well how to care for those who have their young with them. And when the sheep have a trembling go through the flock for fear of the enemy, He knows how to calm them. He knows how to protect them. And He loves them. He knows each one by name. So He has told us in John chapter 10. He carries us when we can go no farther. And when we have been fools. Oh, and how bitterly we think of it when we're in the midst of it and we come to see what fools we have been. Oh, how we rue it when we look back later. But when we are fools and we wander off willfully, well, He goes after us. For He will not, not only shall not, He wills it that He shall not lose one. And He calls us sheep, not cattle. He does not drive us, but leads us. He goes before us and always is with us. How much is He with us? So much so that He is literally one of us. And not quite as long ago as being in John chapter 10, but some time ago, we were back in chapter 7 of Isaiah. And there we see one who is called Emmanuel, God with us. In fact, as I was pointing out last week from John 1:29 and verse 36 there, He Himself is the Lamb of God. Oh, as we often sing in Psalm 103, verses 8 through 14, He knoweth our frame, He knoweth we are but dust. And as we read in Hebrews 4:15, He, our High Priest, knows the agony of our weakness. He is not untouched by that. In Hosea chapter 6, you're going to have to go forward in your Bible just a little bit. In Hosea chapter 6, I believe it's verses 1 through 4, yes, we have these words. Come and let us return to the Lord, for He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, but He will bind us up. After 2 days He will revive us. On the third day He will raise us up, that we may live in His sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. Is going forth as established, is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. Here I've stopped at verse 3 there. And then I would read a poem loosely based on that. Come, let us to the Lord our God with contrite hearts return. Our God is gracious, nor will leave the desolate to mourn. His voice commands the tempest forth and stills the stormy wave. And though His arm be strong to smite, 'tis also strong to save. Long hath the night of sorrow reigned. The dawn shall bring us light. God shall appear and we shall rise with gladness in His sight. Our hearts, if God we seek to know, shall know Him and rejoice. His coming like the morn shall be, like morning songs His voice. As dew upon the tender herb, diffusing fragrance round, as showers that usher in the spring and cheer the thirsty ground, so shall His presence bless our souls and shed a joyful light. The hallowed morn shall chase away the sorrows of the night. He, the Good Shepherd, has guaranteed that He shall come and gather us to be with Him. This same one who is the Good Shepherd has said, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go, I go to prepare a place for you. There we shall be safe forevermore from all our enemies, even the greatest enemy, sin, and the last enemy, death. Our great Savior delivers from all, and from them all, or through them all, I should say, He leads us to an everlasting presence with Him. This is for all of you who are in Jesus Christ. But what if there be any who are here today or who are listening over the internet that have come to see perhaps things are not right with me? How can I be in this place where I can have this strong deliverer? For I am afraid that my sin shall make me smitten by Him. As I've said, God has provided a Savior. God has provided a rescuer. Just as if you were drowning out on the ocean and you would look to and cry out to the lifeguard to save you and deliver you. So now that you see that you are drowning in your sin and in your guilt that threatens to weigh you down into hell, threatens to have you in a position where God shall smite you and righteously for that sin of yours, why, look to the rescuer whom God has provided. Cry out to Jesus Christ, even as the waves wash over you and you cry out, "Help me! Save me!" to the lifeguard. Cry out to Jesus. A lifeguard may be distracted by pretty girls around him. A lifeguard might not hear your voice, choked off by the water in your throat. A lifeguard might see and might hear, but find that he cannot get to you in time. But the rescuer whom God has provided is strong to save. He hears the cry of the ruined sinner, and he sees the one calling to him, and he rescues every single one who cries out for this strong one, this strong deliverer, to save. Behold your God, we saw last week, because He is a strong deliverer. He delivers you from all His and your enemies, and He delivers you to everlasting life. Amen.